Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day. We're headed to the weekend. Looking forward to it very much. To all the dads, stepdads, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, any father figure, happy Father's Day weekend. A Brewers Outlet gift card, by the way, is really a cool gift. Really cool. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. We now go to the angry desk.
No, you know what, Steve? This is the laughing desk today. Because I'm laughing at Boston and their spoiled fans for seeing them, their team get absolutely drubbed last night, minus the first couple minutes of the first quarter. I'm laughing at Phil Mickelson for shooting one of his worst rounds of U.S. Open golf and missing the cut after everything he's done. And the Yankees sweep the Rays and now are 31 games above 500 and off to a good start of this so-called tough stretch, minus the two Astros series. So I'm great today. I'm great. I really am. And it's Father's Day weekend. I'm great. Everything is just superb right now.
The better team won in the NBA Finals. It's four championships now for Steph Curry, which is the same number that LeBron James has won. You know, Klay Thompson, he's gone through a lot to get back to this point. It's interesting, both teams have been built through the draft. And that is, I think, an important element here in a league that has thrived repeatedly on free agency. I mean, every time you turn around, free agency. You know, in fact, we're going to see starting on, I think, July 1, but it'll be the week leading into July 1, that the free agent deal starts. But look at the two teams, right? Curry, and by the way, his college coach, Bob McKillop, the legendary Bob McKillop, retired today. And McKillop's a class guy. I've only been around him a couple of times, once down in Charleston, and the other time was in Atlantic City. And just a class act. Heck of a coach. Terrific coach, Bob McKillop, and he retired today. In fact, they're in the same tournament as Penn State and Charleston this year, but they'll be there with a new coach. McCurry was drafted by them. Klay Thompson drafted by them, Draymond Green, and Jordan Poole was also drafted by Golden State. And the and you look at the Celtics, 80% of their starting lineup they drafted in the first round. Robert Williams, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. It's the way they were built that's intriguing. Now, the Celtics, big problem. I thought the Warriors played very well defensively, but the Celtics were their own worst enemy at times because of all the turnovers. You have no chance of winning a championship when you turn it over that often. And they did turn it over a lot during, and they turned it over a lot last night. The 21-0 run, which was an unbelievable run. I know in my career, the longest run I was ever broadcast was 25, and that was when Penn State played at Madison Square Garden against St. John's back in 2008. 2008? No. That was actually, no. It was actually 2016. It was 2016. Penn State played St. John's at Madison Square Garden 2016. And Chris Mullin was the coach of St. John's. Penn State ran off 25 unanswered. When that happens, you feel like you're broadcasting an avalanche. And that's what last night, that's what the Warriors did to the Celtics on their floor. 21 unanswered points. I mean, the Celtics, you know, kept making some runs at them. But again, every time they would get in a position to maybe change the dynamic, they turn the ball over. And then they turn the ball over. They kept playing off one foot, not two. And the Warriors played very well defensively. And I thought Andrew Wiggins did a great job on Jason Tatum. The better team won. And remember, we go back to the beginning of the playoffs. Which team did we, I think a lot of us, identified as the team to beat in the playoffs? It was Golden State. So the better team won. Mickelson's 52 years old. And there's going to be elements of his game that aren't going to work. For him, the putter is not working. It didn't work at all last week in London. Didn't work here. He actually struck the ball pretty well from tee to green. But can't putt. Even had a four putt today. Mickelson has won 45 times in his career. He's got six majors, and he has had a Hall of Fame career. I know you were disappointed by Jerry Dulac's analysis of it yesterday. You're not really big into reasoned analysis, but that's okay. And as for the Yankees, they're playing great. The one area about the Yankees I would warn Yankee fans about as the season progresses, I think their pitching has been unbelievably good. Really, it's been great. Their defense has been very good. What's interesting about the Yankees is that, yeah, they get some timely hits like Rizzo's walk-off last night, timely. But to be honest with you, they're not hitting that well.
Totally agree.
And that is going to be something that at some point, when the pitching hits a rut, and over 162 games, you're going to hit a rut somewhere. I mean, it's just the way it is. You just can't be a juggernaut in every phase of the game for 6 months. Will they then resurrect and have enough hitting to then compensate when the pitching does hit a rut? And that would be my biggest concern if I were a Yankee fan.
I completely agree.
They don't. They win a lot of 2-1. 4-3. I mean, they win a lot of games like that. And again, you're looking big picture here. You know, the worst thing that could happen to the Yankees is that suddenly in a short series, the pitching goes south and the hitting doesn't resurrect itself and you don't win the series. But they have been unquestionably. Imagine being the Mets. The Mets are playing 646 baseball, and they're not the best team in their own city. Yankees are playing 31 games over 500, and then there's the Phillies. The Phillies are 12-2 in their last 14 games. Last I checked, they were winning over the Nationals in the first game of a doubleheader. Despite going 12-2 in their last 14 games, the Phillies have lost two games in the standings to the Braves, who have won 14 in a row. I mean, think about that. You've gone 12-2, and you fell further back.
Yep, 5-3 Phils, bottom of the sixth. Braves and Cubs scoreless in top of the fourth. Speaking of the Braves.
Yes. And look, Brogdon is out there now for the Phils. In relief of Ranger Suarez, But the Phillies have been playing great ball. Harper's 2-for-3 today. I mean, you look at what they've done. Their offense is doing what we thought they would do. Harper's 2-for-3 today. Castellanos is 2-for-3 today. Schwarber's 1-for-3 today. Let's see. Alec Bohm is 3-for-3. And they're not playing in Philadelphia, so he's more relaxed.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
You're sitting there. You've won 12 of your last 14 games. They say, well, what's next? You got a doubleheader with the Nationals. Yes! This is great! We got the Nationals twice in one day. Castellanos has driven in two. Odubel Herrera's driven in a run. And Bohm, who's, again, much more relaxed playing on the road, has also driven in a run. They're playing great ball. The Phillies are playing great baseball. And again, you've got the extra playoff team in there. You know, so you can squeeze somebody else through. The problem's going to be, right now, one of those teams is going to come from the West. One of them will come from the West. Right now, the Padres are actually half game up on the Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
Reginald Walker on the show today. The King on the show today.
And we'll continue more Boston fan bashing, I'm sure.
I'm sure you guys will. I mean, that's fine. I mean, but I can sit there and say, look, the better team won.
Yes.
They're better,
definitely.
And I can tell you why. I can tell you why the Celtics, in the end, finally ran out of steam because the turnovers finally caught up to them when they were playing the best team out there. They were good enough to beat Milwaukee, including a big win in Game 6 on the road. They were able to beat Miami, winning Game 7 on the road. Celtics had a good run. They're a good team. Now it's going to be up to Brad Stevens. Now, how do I find one additional part in there? Because their bench, by the way, did them no favors in this series. Their bench was very good, by the way, in other games in the series, and it had to be because Williams missed some games, Smart missed some games, so some guys got elevated from the bench to starting roles and played well. But in this series, the Golden State bench absolutely outplayed the Celtics bench. And Curry is just, he's just so much fun to watch. He's so special. Ah, what a shooter. In the fourth quarter, he pulls up from, 32, 35 feet? Bang! It's like, you sit there and go, wow, that dude can shoot. But, yeah. And you're still mad at Jerry. I don't even know if you're going to invite Jerry back. So mad at him.
No, I can never be mad at Jerry. I'm sorry.
For being reasonable.
No, I can never be mad at Jerry.
Again, there's a lot of elements to this. And again, one of them, as I brought up to Jerry, you know, it's the PGA Tour over the years has granted exemptions for players, for example, to play in Dubai. That's okay. European Tour players have left the European Tour to come over here. I mean, that seems to be okay. This, and again, it is Saudi Arabian money. I understand that. But Mickelson was treated well his 2 days there. And the security person that was with his group said, nope. He said he couldn't have been treated any better. I know that disgusts you, but that's okay. You okay?
I'm good.
I'm worried about you.
Today's a good day for me.
Okay. There you go. So I want to make sure. I want you to head into the weekend feeling
always appreciate
good about
it.
Life. Oh, feeling good about life. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Reginald Walker in the next half hour. We'll go through a series of items with him. Looks like Michigan's game with Penn State's going to be a maze out. If you're wondering what that looks like, just picture a pit game at Heinz Field. All right. That was
get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I just thought that was just, that may have been too easy. All right.
It's Pitt. Of course it's too easy.
Just thought it was too easy. All right. I believe Michigan wants that to be a night game, but I don't know if that's going to come to pass or not. We will find out. I know everybody wants to know now. I was asked about the basketball schedule, and I went through the home and aways yesterday, right?
Yes, top of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through that yesterday. And somebody asked me today when we might see the order of the games and so forth, an actual schedule. Normally that's August. I believe the next element that we will find out about will be the ACC game. That will be on the road. And the reason it's going to be on the road is simple. Penn State's played the last two in the ACC Challenge here. So they're going to have to go on the road. I'm trying to think if they played the last two. Yeah, I think so. And then there's the Gavitt games against the Big East. Penn State will be in the Gavitt games this year. After being out the last couple of years, they're rotating back in this year. And I don't know where that game is going to be played. And by the way, with Bob McKillop retiring at Davidson, Davidson is in the tournament in Charleston that Penn State's in. The weekend before Thanksgiving. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, waters, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping. And don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you and thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And don't forget, if you're looking around saying, you know what, I need a Father's Day gift. How about a Brewers Outlet gift card? And also Brewers Outlet for your Father's Day party, picnic, get-together, whatever it may be. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to be with you on this Friday. King in the next half hour. In just a few minutes, we'll have, just a few moments, we'll have Reginald Walker on the show. A lot to talk to him about. The American Conference today announced officially that the six teams that they brought in will start playing next year in 2023. Rice, Texas, San Antonio, Florida Atlantic. You're sitting there going, really? And I know Mike Oresko tries to promote his conference, but you can't seriously have anybody take you seriously saying, we're Power Six when you've got that grouping of teams. You just can't. Can't. All right. But they're doing the best they can with what they have. I mean, they can't help that the Big 12 lured their Big 3 away. UCF, Houston, Cincinnati to then go with BYU. They can't help that. It's just the way it is. It's a day of delight for Matt. He's happy. He, 9 times out of 10, does take joy in others' misery. And, that's what happens when your teams actually don't do well.
Bingo!
When your teams don't do well, you take it out on others. John Tortorella, who has more Stanley Cups in his career than the entire Flyer organization over the last 50 years, is now the new coach, and you don't like that?
No, I do not.
He speaks highly of you. All right, let's...
One of the rare things he speaks highly of, so actually that makes me feel better.
There you go. All right. Let's turn our attention to our mystic from the South, Reginald Walker. Great to have you back with us, sir.
What's up, Steve? How you doing?
Doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm excellent. Excellent. Life is great here in the Carolinas.
Absolutely. Do you think, well, I'll start with this, and then I'll get to a couple of college football questions. Do you think there is any genuine interest down there in Baker Mayfield?
I do. I really do. And I actually said recently here locally, because I was asked about it. And my response is simply, you don't make the trade unless you think he is the future of the franchise. To me, if you make the trade, eat the $18 million, that tells me that you think he's more than a one-year stopgap. The additional piece of that is you'd be giving up additional trade assets that, like you did with Sam Darnold. Right. To me, you don't do that for a one-year rental. If they do that for a one-year rental and the guy walks this next offseason, then what have you really done? So to me, I would suspect if they're going to make that kind of a trade, it wouldn't surprise me if an extension with him came very soon after, because you feel like he is the future. If you don't feel like he's the future of your franchise for at least 2 more seasons, then you force the Browns to release him, in which case then you're in a bidding war, but you know he's getting $18 million, so you can be a little bit more selective about how much money you're going to spend, and you allow him to go anywhere else, perhaps to the Carolina Panthers if he chooses to bid. And what I would sell to him in that situation is, hey, listen, we're going to pay you whatever it is. We're going to pay you maybe $4 or $5 million for this year. But we suspect that you're going to be the future. Sam Darnold, we're going to let him walk out the door at the end of this year, and it's going to be your football team to have moving forward if you don't trade for him. And that's why, to me, if you trade, then you put the extension on it because you've already given up those assets anyway. So you better make sure you have a long-term plan with him. So to me, I think that's where that's where you have to split the hairs, if you will.
But at this point in the NFL, and especially the situation that Mayfield's in, he probably would only cost a fifth or sixth round pick. One. Don't you think?
Well, yeah. The draft capital would be lower. But then again, we saw them, and if I'm Cleveland, I'm pushing the issue. I'm trying to get from the Panthers at least what the New York Jets got for Sam Darnold, which is multiple picks.
Right.
Because my selling point, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, is he better than Sam Darnold. And that's a fact.
Yeah. Right. That's a fact, but the Browns right now have Deshaun Watson. They've got to get rid of him. Part of the problem is the Browns have put themselves in this position, right?
They have. The one advantage the Browns have, and I'm not suggesting this is what they should do, is the fact that Deshaun Watson is only a cap hit of about $1 million this year allows them to eat the Baker Mayfield salary if they need to,
right?
Because between the two players, they're still under $20 million at the quarterback position, which you and I both know, and anybody that's listening very well knows, that is grand theft auto in the National Football League, right? To have your quarterback position cost you less than $20 million.
Well, but of course, part of that is there. It's structured in such a way where if it's suspended, it only costs, it's only $1 million.
Agreed. Right. And they structured it, which a lot of people are on whatever side of the Deshaun Watson thing that they're on, and that's fine. It just looks more and more likely that the suspension for Deshaun Watson will be long. Mm-hmm. I had predicted and had said to some people that I would be shocked if he played this season coming up. Mm-hmm. And some people said to me, I don't think so. I even had one person that's pretty respected NFL-wise tell me he didn't think Deshaun Watson was going to get suspended at all. I think that ship has sailed, especially with number 23 and number 24 in terms of those suits against Deshaun Watson.
Interesting all the way through. Very interesting along the way. All right. College sports. You work in an area and you work around teams where the transfer portal pretty much works one way, and that's usually out. How tough is it for the teams now? And because some are FCS, some are FBS that you are around all the time. How tough is that for them to deal with, that their players are targeted in some ways as transfer portal opportunities for some of the bigger fish?
It's almost impossible for them to continue to stay at a high level with the way they compete, because when you have to have a coach that is basically responsible for mining the transfer portal every day to see who goes in there, who might trickle down to you, as well as in some cases finding out that one of your players has gone in there at the same time, that is a lonely feeling. At the end of the day, many of these young players, there is a notion, and this is why I think what maybe Deion Sanders is doing at Jackson State, and now if you look at some of the recruiting numbers, what Mike Minter at Campbell is doing is very, very important. Campbell, also in the same conference as one of the schools I work for, Gardner-Webb, is very important, because I think if you look up 3 years from now and the young man Travis Hunter at Jackson State, he was one of the top four or five high school players in the country. In some rankings, he was number one, and others he was two or three. If he ends up being a top five NFL draft pick out of Jackson State 3 years from now, then I think the narrative will start to change. I think the visual will start to change. And I think the transfer portal might slow down a little bit, because it'll then be proven if you put together a string of good seasons at an FCS program, at an HBCU, you can still be a top-level pick in the draft. Right now, the narrative is, you know, you're just not going to quite get there because people are going to question your competition. They're going to question, you know, your development. They're going to question what resources you may or may not have had around you at the collegiate level. I know an NFL coach who has said to me flat out, you know, yeah, it would be great to get some of these guys from smaller schools, but they understand even at the NFL level, they don't have as good a training table. They don't necessarily have the resources in terms of strength and conditioning people. They don't have, you know, as many coaches and as many different developmental people to teach them how to watch film and all these little things at some of the smaller schools that they have the resources to do at a place like Penn State with what James Franklin is continuing to lead based on what Coach Paterno built. You don't have all of those resources. So I think from that standpoint, it's going to be an important evolution to watch over the years. But I think it's very important that kids like Travis Hunter and some of those guys that Mike Minter got at Campbell out of high school as top-level recruits end up being top-level draft picks.
We hear, Reginald, about name, image, and likeness, the speech that Nick Saban made to the Birmingham business leaders, and of course then became a problem with Texas A&M. What Ryan Day said to the Columbus business leaders about $13 million, the hard push here at Penn State. Down there, what is that like, name, image, and likeness, and what kind of push, if any, is there down there?
It's not as big a push, and by the way, I have to give James Franklin a lot of credit for the way he sort of handled that question and how he framed it. Mm-hmm. Didn't name anybody else, laid out school X, this is what they have, why wouldn't I have the same thing? He answered that perfectly, in my opinion. But to your point, I don't think, and from what I'm hearing from the NIL standpoint, that's not as big an issue down here, particularly the schools I deal directly with. Now, you're talking about a Group of Five program in Charlotte mm-hmm. who's about to make a move to the American Athletic Conference, and Gardner-Webb, a school that is in the Big South at the FCS level, so it's a little bit different. But from the NIL standpoint, I'll be curious to see, especially in the next couple of years, because you know, we all know Tobacco Road, North Carolina, it's a basketball state. And so I think that's where we're going to see some interesting inroads with NIL, is with basketball in this state. But I think the one thing I have noticed and the one thing I think, Steve, is going to really be the kicker to this thing is some of these organizations, some of these businesses, let me rephrase that, because the NIL collectives are one thing, but some of these businesses, they're going to have to figure out what is the ROI. And I think from that standpoint, I think in the next few years, we'll see some of these numbers sort of start to plateau and perhaps come down a little bit and get a little bit more conservative, to use that term, and instead of so aggressive with the amount of money that these young players are getting. And I think the other thing you'll start to see is as that money kind of goes down, you'll see a little bit less of the back channeling to get kids to jump in the portal because of NIL deals, and they'll be more likely to stay put at certain places, even with maybe some smaller deals, because they'll realize the market has kind of flattened out.
Yeah, and that's going to be one of the keys, I think, to this in the next 5 years. At some point, I mean, not everybody feels this way, but at some point, people want a return quote on their investment. I mean, do you think that's a fair statement?
That's a completely fair statement. I think the only people that are not looking for a return on their investment, obviously, besides essentially the NIL collectives, and that's because many of them are tied directly to the university's alumni groups or whatever the case may be.
Right.
The only ones that aren't looking for profit or for that ROI are those types of organizations and the folks back in the Live Golf Tour because, well, we know why they're doing that.
So, right.
From that standpoint, there you go. And so I think that's where it's going to kind of flatten out. And, you know, Steve, I continue to say this, and if there's any young high school player or college player listening, look, I'm not telling kids they shouldn't go into the transfer portal. If it makes sense for you, if it's the best decision for you, I get it. But just make sure it's the best decision, because I see way too many kids go into that transfer portal, Steve, and they never come out, and it oftentimes will end a college career, and that is concerning to me.
Well, yeah, it's concerning, but the problem is they're being told by others around them that the grass is greener on the other side. That is a problem.
They are. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I hope, you know, that the players that have to go through this, you know, are able to hold these people accountable and sit down with them and say, look what you did. You know, look what where your advice sent me. Now, at the end of the day, it's on the player to ultimately make the decision.
Yeah.
And so I just encourage them to really think about the decision that they're making when they make it and understand that there is a chance, right? Because, you know, Stevie Jones can be a great outside linebacker on his way into the portal, and then all of a sudden LeVar Arrington jumps into the portal 30 seconds before him, and the coach who said, Steve Jones, I'm going to take care of you, goes, well, there's LeVar Arrington. I think I'm going to take care of LeVar Arrington. And Steve Jones is out there in the cold. And that's where, you know, this thing gets a little bit off the rails, in my opinion.
Well, it's off the rails if you think I'm a talented linebacker. All right, so let's – Reginald, have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. And look, I'm going to say this to you. You obviously have your children, so happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
But you certainly are a patriarch that a lot of us as former Penn State football players and obviously graduates – appreciate. So happy Father's Day to you. Hope you have a great weekend.
I appreciate that more than I can say. Thank you for saying that, even thinking that. Thanks, Reginald. Hey, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Very touching at the end. So, very touching. The Lettermen have always been really, really, really good to me, and to the point where one of the great honors I've ever had in my lifetime, without question, was when I was voted an honorary Letterman. Yeah, it's like, sit back and go, really, me? I mean, that's kind of cool, but they've always been great to me, and I was very touched by what Reginald said. And, of course, to Matt with little Luke and little Mark, huh? Matt is an absolutely awesome dad.
Why, thank you.
It's always great, you know. I mean, let's face it, Lisa compensates a lot. But that's...
She does, yes.
It's like, you know, why is Daddy angry at the TV? It's not a good night for the Sixers. Why is Daddy mad at the TV? Well, the Flyers aren't doing well. Why is Daddy mad at the TV? Well, it's... Jalen Hurts just threw his third interception in the Giants game. It's been a rough few years for you.
Yeah.
But better days are coming. Not really. All right, so... just thought I'd make you feel better.
Thanks.
It's my goal. It's my job. It's my job. Making you feel better. I feel like in some ways, I feel like a therapist some days.
You are. I've admitted that fully.
You, the listeners. Yeah. Then I sit back and realize how much per hour those individuals get. I am dramatically underpaid.